This reading is taken from the first epistle of John, chapter 1, and it's page 1225 in the Pew Bibles. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Here endeth the epistle.
Can I invite you to stand for the gospel? The Holy Gospel is written in the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning at the 19th verse, and can be found on page 1089 of the Pew Bibles. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. By way of opening prayer at the start of the sermon today, I'm going to read a sonnet called St. Thomas the Apostle by Malcolm Guyte. I encourage you to close your eyes and to seek to pay full attention to the language within it. St. Thomas the Apostle by Malcolm Guyte. We do not know. How can we know the way? Courageous master of the awkward question, you spoke the words the others dared not say, and cut through their evasion and abstraction. O doubting Thomas, father of my faith, you put your finger on the nub of things. We cannot love some disembodied wraith, but flesh and blood must be our King of Kings. Your teaching is to touch, embrace, anoint, feel after him and find him in the flesh. Because he loved your awkward counterpoint, the word has heard and granted you your wish. O place my hand with yours. Help me divine the wounded God whose wounds are healing mine. Amen. The letters of John the Apostle are written around a decade after his gospel. So around 90 to 95 years after the death of Christ and the resurrection. And he's writing to a group who have had doubt sown in their minds by false teachers who would deny the full divinity and full humanity of Christ. And now John is stressing the presence of the Word made flesh in the midst of people. This is a very human word of God, and he wants to make it clear that he can testify to that which has been revealed. This is not some new idea. This is from the beginning. And not only has it been heard and seen, but it has been touched with human hands. It is that which we beheld and our hands handled. The Greek word apparently here is not the typical word for touch, which would be apto, but rather is a verb that means something more like physically examined. Selapheo. For example, that same word is used in Luke 24 when the risen Lord Jesus himself says, "Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as I have." And how well this letter sits with this week's gospel about Thomas and his need to press his hands into the wounds of Jesus. Thomas's "I will not believe" sounds almost determined not to. Thomas knew what he wanted to happen, what he needed to happen. He needed it to be physical. "Unless I see the marks and put my finger in them and my hand in his side." And Jesus turns up and invites him to do exactly that. Matter matters. It matters what our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard, what our hands and fingers have touched, because a flesh and blood world needs a flesh and blood saviour. Here we are in Eastertide. The Alleluias are still ringing in our ears. our candle announcing the light of Christ. And at the same time, however, our ears ring with the world's terrible news. The alleluias muted by people being starved and bombed in Gaza, and devastating deaths of those who simply sought to help feed them. Many more depressing examples could be given of man's inhumanity to man. Can't we that walk in the light of Christ just focus on the shiny bright holiness of the resurrected Jesus and let it distract and blind our eyes to the stains and the pains of this physical world? 1 John answers with a resounding, nah. We are part of the stain and the pain. And Christ came because of it. For ours and the world's sin, there is forgiveness because of the reality of our flesh and blood Saviour. That needs to be a reality in our lives. And that's precisely how in this darkness he is the light. Not because of his shiny holiness, but because of his painful bloodiness. There's a string of contrasts in 1 John, in verses 5 to 10, that alternate. Good news are the odd verses, and the negatives are the even verses. And when you read them like that, as two separate lists, they have great impact. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and the word is not in us. It gets better. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's a false chapter division that comes at the beginning of chapter 2, but it continues with, if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. He said to Thomas, "Reach out your hand and put it in my side." Christ invites us all to do the same. Kaylin, Carol, John, Linda, John, Penny, James, Vladimir Putin, Benjamin Netanyahu, Kim Jong-un, to reach out our hand and touch Christ's wounds. In the bread that Christ called his body and the wine that Christ called his blood, the fruit of the wounds of our flesh and blood Saviour. Amen.